Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Dennis Rodkin's in the studio from Cranes. It talks about real estate, and we'll get to him in just a second. Elise Glink will be here a little bit later. Today is the day without immigrants. And so what do you do if you're a business owner whose workers don't come in? I know of a few, and I know that it wasn't a shock. The workers went to the bosses and said, you know, we're going to mark it this day. So we'll talk to Elise a little bit about that. Max Temkin, one of the co-creators of Cards Against Humanity, and Bill Geiger as well coming up. President Trump said earlier today that people aren't covering the stock market increase the way they should. So Bennett Wakenight's our producer. Bennett, I want you to get the podcast subscription to the White House because he's apparently not listening to the program. We talk about it quite a bit. Right, Dennis Rodkin?
Yeah, I think probably it was because people were too busy watching the coverage of the stock market.
Right, I know. I was just shocked by that.
And, yeah.
So there's that. Okay, so I was telling Bill and Wendy about this new company or this company called
Show Homes.
Show Homes. They're out of Nashville. And when I was reading it, it's like, this is really cool. And as I said it out loud, I'm like, well, no, people are selling their houses and they've got big, expensive, empty homes. They sell better with people in it. So these people, they go and rent for sale homes to live in or... Explain this for me.
Well, so I come to stage your house with furniture, right. And it's my furniture, my car, and me. Obviously, I don't actually work for Show Homes, but that's what happens. They move into your house. They make it look, feel, smell, lived in. They bring, in many cases, their own furniture, but if they aren't bringing their own, the franchisee has, you know, rented furniture just like you would stage another home with. And the idea is that somebody is there shoveling the snow, although we haven't had any this winter, mowing the lawn, doing that sort of thing, and keeping the house feeling lived in.
And making the house look like when someone walks through it, like it's just not a big old empty house.
Yeah.
Okay, so where's the money go here? Because if you're, and so there's one guy you quote, I think, in the North Shore in the past few years has done this. He's lived in 11 different homes.
Yeah.
So these guys are doing full-scale move, all their furniture, they'll move into a house for sale till it's sold, and then they'll move into the next house for sale.
And the one guy, the one on the North Shore, drives a Tesla. And so he says, even your garage is staged because I've parked my Tesla in there.
Okay, this is a guy driving a Tesla, and he's doing this.
These are not people, for the most part, you're talking about big, high-end homes. So it's not, you know, your unemployed 22-year-old who's just looking for a place to sleep at night. Generally, they have enough furniture. One of the differences between staging your house and having this done is that every room is furnished. Often, if you stage an empty house, not always, but often, if you stage an empty house, it's, you know, living room, dining room, a bedroom. They fill the house with furnishings. They bring their own, a couple of the people I spoke to have their own art collections, not, you know, fabulous art, but they put their stuff on the walls. And they pay the homeowner rent.
So they are paying rent.
They're paying rent.
So they're like itinerant livers, right?
They move. Yeah, the other couple I talked
livers.
To, I don't know if livers is quite the, I didn't ask them about the quality of their organs.
Right.
But I did talk to one couple who are franchisees, and they move from house to house and live in it, and he carries her over the threshold. He's carried her over the threshold, I think, 10 times in 5 years. And the idea is, they're short-term renters. They're people who can rent short-term. You might be a relocated executive who doesn't need to be here long. You might be empty nesters who just sort of think it would be fun. There are a lot of other reasons to do it. You're remodeling a home and want a place to live short-term, and you're paying the homeowner. The homeowner would be paying anyway, if this house is empty, to rent the furniture, have a house staged. So having the renters in there essentially defrays the cost of having it staged.
Okay, so but it's a business, and it's a business that sells franchises.
The two franchises in Chicago are the biggest market in America for this group.
And so let's say I'm the guy. I'm the itinerant. I'm the home.
Right.
And so I move into your house because it's for sale. I'm paying you money.
Right.
Okay, so what's the business part of it? What's the Nashville part of it?
I think you're actually the check you write goes to Show Homes.
Okay,
and it's about 40% of what your mortgage payment would be, and then down the line, Show Homes is going to say, you know, here was the cost of staging and we're removing that, that sort of thing. So I don't think the homeowner collects all, first of all, the homeowner doesn't receive the check,
okay,
but also does not collect in their bank account all that money. A lot of it is the cost of the staging.
So does the homeowner then pays home?
Right.
I can't think of the name of it.
Show Homes.
Show Homes.
Yeah, I know.
The homeowner pays Show Homes, and the renter pays Show Homes.
The homeowner doesn't pay Show Homes until after the house sells. And again, so I think Show Homes is subtracting what the renters have paid over time. So essentially, it's like making your house stage itself, right, carry itself as a stage. You still have expenses because they're not paying the entire mortgage and payment.
I'm showing my thickness a little bit that I'm not getting the whole thing, but just the idea that of these people moving from house to house to house is a pretty wild thing. And they're divorced or whatever. They just
Or divorced.
It's sort of a new way to live.
Yeah, it's an interesting. You know, if you want to sort of try it on, a couple of these people said, you know, I had a pool at this house, and then we had a wine cellar at that house.
It's,
you know, sort of Airbnb. Written at 10,000 square feet. And the reason it seems to be so popular in Chicago, first of all, there are two real dynamic franchisees who seem to be doing a good job. But on top of that, we have had a slow recovery. We have a lot of big houses that are sitting on the market. And so one of the ways, you know, you want to keep it occupied. You also want to defray the cost of that mortgage you're paying.
Sure.
You know, you've already moved to Florida, Palm Springs, whatever it is. And you want to have some of your carrying costs covered.
All right. There's that. Another story that you wrote this week is about the fact that we in this market are doing really well when it comes to younger buyers.
Yeah.
And those are people who've been renting for a time, or explain that for me.
In the young age, the young stage of homeownership, we've had a big uptick in singles buying. In a lot of the cities where prices are going up, they're seeing a lot of doubling up. They're seeing a lot of couples buy a house. But you can still, it's still so affordable here that singles have been buying about a third of the young, not a third of all buyers, but a third of the young buyers, buyers up to about age 35. In Chicago in 2015 were single. It's another indication of just how affordable our market is.
I was surprised, and I'm not sure why my reaction was, but I was surprised that it's more single men than single women.
Yeah, that's something they...
Is that surprising to you?
It is. I was surprised because you hear about single women wanting to put down roots, that sort of thing, sooner, that kind of thing. But maybe it's just a financial play. I don't know. It is a surprise that there are more men than women doing it.
And one other thing then, you know, Highland Park is known for its teardowns, the big houses. The party's gone to Elmhurst now?
Party's gone to Elmhurst. Yeah, that's exactly the way to put it. So Elmhurst vaulted up into the top 10 suburbs for million-dollar sales in 2016. It was number 8 last year among suburbs for million-dollar sales. It was tied for 23rd 2 years ago. So that's how much it's increased. It's the biggest increase of any suburb. And most of those sales are new construction.
Right. So they're tearing down the old and putting up the new.
Yeah. Lots and lots of them.
Dennis Rodkin, read more at chicagobusiness.com. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
We'll see you soon. It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It is 12:52. This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Cards Against Humanity is a force. You've heard us talk about them quite a lot. They're a force in the game industry, force in the Kickstarter history, and probably a force in comedy as well. And one of the guys behind it, Max Temkin, is in the studio. He's been patiently waiting for the president to wrap things up. Max, thanks for hanging out. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. You bumped the president for me.
You know, that's power. You guys are more powerful than you have any idea.
Thank you. We're going to have a busy day trying to figure out how to make jokes about this. This is my head spinning listening to this press conference.
Okay. So, and that's what I want to talk to you about, because you guys do so many off-the-wall kind of marketing things, and there's a line between where the comedy's got to match the marketing, right? I mean, so how much of what you do is comedy, and how much, like when you do the Super Bowl ad a couple weeks ago, it was a potato with the word advertisement written on it. And it just sat there, a static potato, for 30 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Did you do that to drum up business, was that about business?
Well, that's the sort of central question that we're always thinking about at Cards. I mean, I think, you know, primarily we view ourselves as a comedy company. So we want to do things that are funny. You know, we don't pay for any...
Well, you view yourself as making money off comedy, though. I mean, you're selling... games, aren't you?
We do quite well selling our game, but so maybe we'll start here. So the underlying structure of the business is really interesting. There's eight of us. We're all exactly equal partners. Right. Nobody's in charge. We're childhood friends, and we started this this whole Cards Against Humanity company and the whole organization on a Kickstarter project. So we have no debt, we have no investors, we own the whole company, and that lets us take really fun creative risks. And when we come up with a funny idea, like the idea for this was, let's make a really bad Super Bowl commercial, right, and then do a blog post about why it failed. And we took a gamble, and we were like, well, this is kind of, on the one hand, costly to do the commercial, but maybe people will think it's funny and we'll get some
right.
some attention on
so,
it.
Right. And so then college students go back to class on Monday after the Super Bowl, and their marketing professors are saying, these guys are geniuses.
Right.
And you're just a smartass having fun.
Yeah, it's a hard place to draw the line. But one thing that's interesting also is we don't pay for any advertising or marketing. I'm not 100% convinced that it works, especially if you're a small business like we are. Maybe if you're Coca-Cola and you have millions of dollars, it does. But
Max, look around. You're at WGN Radio. We're convinced it works.
Yeah, right. Well, that's true. But these are big companies that can pay to get a lot of coverage
right.
on the air. We can't compete with that. So
okay.
we're always looking for like a free, funny way to get attention.
A holiday hole. Explain that for me.
Sure. So every year for Black Friday, we try to do something really funny that's kind of, I don't know if it's a protest of Black Friday or just sort of like an anti-Black Friday sale. So in the past, we had a Black Friday sale where we raised all our prices by $5, one day only, special deal.
Right.
Everything is $5 more. 2 years ago, we did one that was really fun, which was the Black Friday Give Cards Against Humanity $5 sale. And it was just a form where you could go on and give us $5 and you got nothing in exchange.
What did you do with that money?
We gave it to our employees, and they spent it. We raised $70,000
right.
for nothing, and we dispersed that to our employees, and they all went out on a spending spree and gave a bunch of money to charity and bought themselves some fun things. And you can go to cardsagainsthumanity.com/Black Friday and see the receipt of what everyone bought.
But it's you've done such a good job of building up a sense of goodwill that you can say, give us $20 and we're going to build a big hole, and people do it.
Yeah.
People just want to be part of you.
Well, part of it, this year, for exactly as you said, we did this thing where it was pay what you want, you put in any amount of money, and as long as people kept giving us money, we were just digging this big hole in the middle of nowhere for no reason. And so what we're trying to do with that is we hope it captures the national mood. So this was right after the election, and I think a lot of people were feeling very uncertain. They were like, is it all mean anything? Is it all worth it to care about a society? So I think we try to capture the national mood a little bit, but also we're trying to poke fun at this sort of gross capitalist spectacle of Black Friday. I think Black Friday makes people feel bad.
Okay, but so let's go back then to where we started, because you're a company that does that. You get your name out there, you get your message out there in a way. Are you doing it to make the statement, or are you doing it to sell more games?
Well, about obviously, this is the thing with capitalism, right? There's a thing in critical theory that there's no heresy in capitalism. So there's nothing we can say or do that capitalism won't just sell back to people, right? There's nothing so outrageous that capitalism can't tolerate it if someone's making money.
I think you've proven that.
Yeah, certainly. and so it's hard. It's like, well, if you want to comment. So I think Black Friday it makes me feel really bad. I think it's kind of gross. It comes after this day where you're supposed to feel grateful for what you
right.
have and be with your family, and then it's this just sort of gross day of consumerism. And, it's hard, because what do people do? There was that outdoor company that did the skip Black Friday and go outside thing, and that was $1 million marketing campaign. So which is it?
Right, well, there you go. Right.
Is it authentic or is it an ad? I think what we try to do from a comedy, just from a comedy point of view, we try to take an authentic risk. So when we do something like this hole or the charge $5 more sale, we don't know if it's going to work. It's a horrible idea. It should fail. And there's maybe an element of improv where we sort of put this idea out there, and then the public comes in and makes it real if they think it's funny.
The public sort of concludes the sentence in a way, puts the period on the sentence.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm sorry that we had such a short time. I hope you'll come back.
I would love to.
Max Temkin, one of the eight co-creators, like a Brady Bunch sort of.
Yeah.
Of Cards Against Humanity. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.